This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, yo. You know, when my buddy tells you something, you better listen. She warned us about this cold front, and look at us now. We're shivering like a shitting dog, as Ben always likes to say.
Yeah, I think even the dogs are inside today.
Yo.
Even if they do need to go number two.
Jo. Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. Weekend is here.
Woo!
Aside from not going anywhere, not talking to anyone, trying to keep warm, what is everybody going to be doing? What's happening?
Well, yesterday I thought I'd take the big step of getting my carpets cleaned at home.
Uh-oh.
You know, because the weather's been nice of late. So I made this call last week.
Now you've got wet, cold carpets.
It'll be easy to open the doors and windows. It'll be cold. It'll be dry in a jiffy.
It will be easy.
So yeah. Basically, Meowsers and I were like refugees in our own house last night, just sitting next to the heater in one room. Because I had to get everything else open. And
you
I think
had to keep
dry.
It open?
Well, it was wet.
Ah,
I want to dry because I don't like living in a place that looks like it's been robbed.
Right, of course.
Yeah. So,
yes.
Tough day to do it.
Oh my God, Ben! Of all the days, it's probably the worst day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does not work for us.
So I woke up this morning feeling very cold, rather disheveled, and I walked downstairs and it's like, what's going on here? Things everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, clean weekend.
Oh, no.
I had, like, the couches done as well, you know, because they can use
Ben,
this machine.
Ben doesn't believe in spring cleaning. He believes in winter cleaning.
Well, Daniela's away this week, so I thought I'd get this stuff done so then she doesn't have to be around while the thing looks
nice.
You know.
So considerate. Yeah,
thoughtful.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, what are you up to this weekend, Sia?
Well, I sort of discovered a new tactic last night. So we went to the Gavin Rajaja show.
Oh.
Very Rajaja. And I think now I'm actually done with my, you know, going out for the weekend. So it actually works in my favor. Now I just like get all blanketed up
and I don't leave the house at all.
What
happened last night? Did you get it out of your system?
Oh.
You partied properly.
Yeah. That was nice. Yeah.
Because Alan Ford had Malcolm Kluk on yesterday, who's also a famous South African fashion director. And I reckon those fashion people party hard.
Goodness. So firstly, the show itself and the people that attend, it's just like, okay, so you guys are very, you know, like very Rajaja, as the term is so befitting for all of you. But what I like is the cold brings out the truth in everyone.
What do you mean?
Can only look as fabulous to a certain point, though. Because as we were waiting outside, you know, those heaters that are plonked around, everyone was just like
straight to the heaters. Yeah, they're not trying to show off then. They're like,
So I'm like, thank you, Miss Fashionista, who thought rocking up in a little thigh-high slit situation works so well for you, but now you look like an idiot, basically shivering around.
Instead
of like a bar and serving champagne or wine, everyone was just around the coffee bar.
Right.
Like, please, we need something warm.
So where did they have it?
It was at Mall of Africa. And so they've set up an entire Fashion Week tent there. So we basically had to wait around before we went in. And then the after party, because Gavin Raja has hooked up with one of these decorative stores, was inside the mall at least, and which worked, but also at the same time didn't work because we had no place to sit except for the actual couches that the store was selling. So we were like, if we spill anything, we'll have to basically pay for this like $8,000 couch. So we were minding ourselves as we continued on drinking. But yeah, it's great, great innings. So now I'm glad that got that out of the way. This weekend, you will not see me up until Monday morning again.
You're going to be in hibernation.
Properly so.
I'm off to Nelspruit. There's a Nelspruit literary festival which I'm going to. You know, the all the bookie people will be there.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you hosting a panel or something?
I am, two of them or whatever. I was at a talk last night at WITS, the South African Institute for International Affairs. Also like a careers thing.
Jeez,
which was interesting.
A lot now.
Yeah, there were a lot of people there. It was good. It was really, really good.
Because they're doing one next week as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to remind you.
Yeah. Everybody goes, oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. To get there. The problem is you really have to make a lot of time on either side of it because, and I'm not complaining about this, is just part of what you do. So you have to get there in traffic, which is usually a nightmare. And then afterwards, everybody wants to ask questions and so on. So you've got to make yourself available for a bit longer. So you eventually get home like an hour and a half after it's finished.
And don't you hate it when people say, oh, no, please just come. It's only 45 minutes of you speaking.
You're like, no, it's not.
It's not.
So here's a press release from the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Director of Information in Zimbabwe. Listen to this. Fellow Zimbabweans, it is with the utmost disgust and contempt that we read about this fallacious and frivolous story about our First Lady. Let it be known here and now that Her Excellency, the First Lady and Secretary for ZANU-PF Women's League, Dr. Grace Mugabe, has not been arrested for anything whatsoever. Dr. Mugabe, the mother of the nation, is on a diplomatic offensive, and that has seen detractors fearing that she will soon be the mother of SADC, spreading false allegations that she assaulted a model.
Hmm.
The fact is, Dr. Mugabe was holding an electric cable, which she wanted to use to plug in her son's laptop. The lady in question was appalled to see a humanitarian and philanthropist in the same room with her and jumped in excitement towards the mother of Zimbabwe.
Stop.
It is unfortunate that her face was perpendicular to the cord and hence due to the circumference of her face, it struck her forehead, then hence a concussion that has been circulated. Finally, we want to put it on record that her visit to a police station was a philanthropic visit where she wanted to donate computers and maize. She also toured local courts in South Africa just to appreciate the justice system. Thank you.
Is this from My Zimbabwe's gossip column? Like, is this an actual thing?
No, this is the official press release, Ben. What's your problem?
You know, there are, I mean, as ridiculous as that, obviously it's a joke, but there are people who really do draft shit like that for the Zimbabwean government. And I heard... I heard someone talking yesterday about how there are people who are calling in to various radio stations in South Africa actually standing up for, like, Claudi and Faith and Batabile and these sort of people, saying that Makosi Khoza is just getting her comeuppance for being so rude to all those people when she was in charge of the SABC investigation.
What?
Yeah,
they're
I can
saying she's just got what she deserves.
I can see how they would think that, yes. I mean, they've never liked her. They've never liked the things that she's had to say.
Right.
They're probably extremely elated with the news that broke yesterday.
Ben rightly said to me, he draws some comparisons between Tina Turner and Makosi Khoza, not just the hair.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you think about it. They're both very strong-willed women. They're put on a big show, very emotional, very outgoing.
Yeah.
But ultimately, there's just violence and hatred towards them from other people that aren't very nice. I mean, how many Ike Turners do you reckon are in the ANC?
All of.
Exactly.
All of them.
Well, we already know about one or two.
So the next time you see her fighting the good fight, just picture a Tina Turner. And she is. She's... Look, ultimately, Tina wins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We hope so.
That's what I'm hoping here.
Okay.
Thanks, because now every time I see her, I'll just have a Tina Turner song stuck in my head now.
We don't need another hero.
Exactly. We just need good government. That's all we need.
That's the song I was thinking of. Not Private Dancer or Simply the Best. It was that one. That's the official Makosi Khoza song now, right? We don't need another hero. Love it.
Yes.
So there is a story in Bulawayo 24 News about Grace Zimbabwe. No, no, listen to this.
Oh.
In her own words, Zimbabwean First Lady Grace Mugabe disapproves of violence in women. And I quote her verbatim, "As the head of ZANU-PF's Women's League, my number one goal is to endeavor that no woman ever suffers the assault or violence of any kind, that those who use violence against women shall face the full power of the law." Before the ink dries on this speech by Grace Mugabe, we learn with shock and disbelief the embarrassing news that the wife to dictator Mugabe violently assaulted Gabriella Engels, a young woman from South Africa. As if that was not enough, Grace Mugabe goes on to play fugitive with the South African laws. She reportedly dodged arrest, with her whereabouts unknown to the authorities. The uncouth and barbaric manner in which Grace behaves comes right in the middle of August, the month women are celebrated and their rights promoted. It is with the greatest humiliation and embarrassment to the Zimbabwean community that Grace, instead of observing the rights of fellow women, she is at the forefront, impeding on them.
Hmm.
Huh? So that's an actual news story from a Zimbabwean newspaper. So you know what? There are people who are standing up to this stuff, even though in Zim it's really difficult to do that because you obviously put your life on the line. You know, if you say stuff like that in Zim, there's not it's not just some, you know, not a big deal issue. It's a major story, and in Zim you will lose your job, you could lose your life, you could be locked up in prison. It's a very serious thing. So there are people who are telling the truth, even though it is difficult to do in that country.
Mm.
Anyway, today we'll be talking about a bunch of things. We've got Kelly Kumalo after 8 o'clock this morning, which will be amazing. Only because I've been desperate to talk to her for the longest time. Kelly Kumalo is one of those names in South Africa that you almost don't have to give her a surname. You just say Kelly and people know who you're talking about. She's really that big a deal. She's had such ups and downs in her life. Lots of people, just like we were talking about Makosi Khoza just now, lots of people hate Kelly Kumalo. I've heard horrible things being said about her by people who are either jealous or superstitious or stupid. But she is just such an accomplished woman, whether it comes to her singing career, her acting, and all the other things that she's done. Because to be fair, she's a bit of a virtuoso. She can do a lot. So she will be our guest after 8 o'clock this morning. You don't want to miss that. We'll also talk to a guy called Thomas Bossoff about gun control. You know, because there are people who talk about how firearms should be banned. There are people who say, well, if we ban firearms, then the only people with them will be the government. And how do ordinary citizens protect themselves in a country where clearly the police don't care about you and where the government will use force against people? We've seen it at Marikana, which we commemorated just 2 days ago, 5th year anniversary since Marikana. So you have to think very carefully about whether or not you should have a gun, whether other people should have guns, what the rules around those guns should be. And we thought it would be an interesting thing to get into with Thomas Bossoff a little bit later on. As usual, sport with Ben, check in on the news with Mubs. Sia's got some said by Sia wisdom for us this morning. And we're going to check in with Amanda. What's happening in the East Rand this weekend, Amanda? I haven't spoken to you about this for the whole week. And by the way, we got some East Randers in the next couple of days. You got some for us?
We do have some cool East Randers coming up.
All right. So what are you up to this weekend?
I don't know. It's a bit cold, but obviously that doesn't keep me inside.
No.
Obviously.
Like a caged animal. Need to get out there.
So I think I will go on a little bit of a outing. I'm not too sure where, but yeah.
All right, don't stress if you're a Game of Thrones fan. I'm not going to do any spoilers here. I promise you I won't do that. But I watched the leaked episode yesterday.
Oh, you badass.
Yeah.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, you see, I've heard everyone who's watched that episode, that's all I've heard them say.
Yo.
Oh, yeah.
So Mubs brought up the point that was it really leaked?
No, I was saying that I was listening to some people who were asking that, or I saw people online arguing amongst themselves about, well, was this really a leak, or is it part of some PR exercise or PR stunt?
So that got me thinking, what if an episode doesn't go so well in the ratings? They go, oh, guys, the numbers weren't so great in that one. Let's leak this one because it's a much better episode, and then we've got everyone.
Maybe. I think everyone's watching this season. There might be one or two people go, oh, I'm not a Game of Thrones viewer. But I don't know what they're talking to their colleagues about at work. I really don't. We got people on the line.
Hey, Gareth.
Yo, hey, how's it, man? Oh, I know who this is.
Yeah, it's your smartest listener.
Yeah, well, introduce yourself to everybody else.
This is Rob Nicolai from Harwick. Right.
We say crazy Rob, but you know we mean that affectionately.
Yeah, you should say theoretical physicist Rob.
Right. So, Rob, what's happening, man?
Well, I think the world is going crazy. I mean, if there's not terrorists running you down in Barcelona, there's a North Korean dictator wanting to threaten the world with nuclear weapons that he doesn't have.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un, who are you more worried about? People driving over you in Barcelona, Kim Jong-un, or racists in America? Which one frightens you more?
Neither. Kim Kardashian.
Oh, really? She's the most frightening.
Yeah, because she's got absolutely no skills. She's very famous. She's got her own TV show. And for what? I mean, what does she do except just be?
I'm not inclined to disagree with you. I like that. All right, but North Korea, I mean, do you think that they have the technology now to be able to launch a long-range missile and threaten the world? Because they are run by a completely crazy dictator who's also called Kim.
Yeah, and did you know that they're saying that he actually bought Russian ballistic missile technology from the Ukraine, because he has developed his missile technology a lot faster than either America or Russia did during the Cold War. And it's, he's just a tin-pot little dictator in a ridiculous third world country, and everyone is starving, but he wants nuclear weapons with warheads.
Yeah, but maybe it's just because technology's advanced so quickly that when you try and build a ballistic missile in 2017, it's quicker than trying to do it before the technology exists in 1948.
Yeah, look, nobody knew anything in 1948 because they still thought of relativity from Einstein. They didn't have quantum mechanics. But, I mean, at least there's no Kardashian with nuclear weapons.
Hey, Rob, what are your plans for the weekend?
I haven't made any yet, but I was thinking of building a bomb shelter in case Jong-un nukes us.
All right, what do you think of Grace Mugabe?
I think she needs to work on her left, and what is she doing with an electric extension cord? I mean, is she the Zimbabwean Indiana Jones?
All right, Rob. Listen, you have a happy day, dude, and enjoy your weekend this weekend. Let us know if anything exciting happens, all right?
I will do, and if I can just offer some advice to Gabriela Engels.
Yes?
Mugabe's got a beach mansion in Belito. It's worth at least 200 million rand. She should sue for that if Grace has skipped the border.
That's a good idea. So he has a house in Belito, huh?
You just Google Mugabe's Belito mansion. I mean, it makes Nkonda look cheap and tacky.
Wow. Well, everything makes it kind of look cheap and tacky, but I'll look that up. I didn't know that, Rob.
Well, for 145 million, 49 million rand, and Mugabe's place is worth 20 million. I mean, this is a place that Hugh Hefner would be embarrassed to stay in because it's too good.
See.
Hang on. Golf courses.
I'm looking it up right now. Wow. This is some property.
I mean, this is a bolt hole in case Zimbabwe becomes like North Korea.
Jesus, what a place.
It is ridiculous.
It looks like a villa.
It looks like Hugh Hefner's South African beach mansion.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
Wow.
And this is from a country, and Mugabe's sons, they spend more on the night on champagne than the average Zimbabwean income is a year.
So do they go there often?
I'm not sure. I've tried to let it out to friends. But nobody wants to piss off Bob.
Yeah, I reckon we should all just storm it and take it over. It looks really good.
Yeah, we should occupy beach mansions.
There we go. I like it.
I'll see you there on the weekend.
Yeah, I'll meet you at the... Yeah, we'll go down to the private beach.
Sounds okay, good. Well, yeah, I don't have any cottages there on there, but I booked the one closer to the beach.
All right, man. Thanks, Rob.
Okay, cheers, guys.
Bye. There we go. There's Rob. Rob Nicolai. He's from... Howick in KZN. We call him affectionately Crazy Rob. Okay, so I'm looking at the pictures, and not all of these pictures are of the same house, but have you seen the place?
Jeez.
Looks good, huh?
That looks pretty plush.
It does.
The greenery. Oh, how I'm disturbed it now.
Yeah, it looks very,
it's
very
massive.
Nice. I am amazed at how guys like this get away with buying property all over the world, and, you know, he must have someone who looks after it for him, because they're not there all the time.
But did you hear that the First Lady, Grace Mugabe, has just bought another mansion here in Johannesburg?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, in Sandhurst.
Tell me about it.
So she has reportedly purchased a 45 million rand mansion here in Johannesburg. This is what the Star reported yesterday. The 9,249 square meter property in Sandhurst through a shelf company back in Feb. So this is now actually being released now. The property has a summer house, 6 reception rooms, 4 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, as well as a koi pond and a 2-bedroomed cottage pool.
Mm. Sounds good.
So since this week in particular, they've reportedly been, the house has been reportedly been guarded by Zimbabwean security guards. And Grace has also rented a 25 million rand mansion in Sandhurst on a year's lease earlier this year.
Sure, must be nice, eh?
So Grace has reportedly spent a lot of time here in South Africa since her family left their 500,000 rand per month Dubai home. And last year, Grace reportedly bought a 58 million rand mansion in Harare.
See, this is why this is why you start attacking young girls with power cables, because you you feel like you're above everything.
Well, in her world,
as a property list of that. Like, Floyd Mayweather doesn't even boast that kind of stuff. And he's really tacky rich.
Yeah, but you see, they're going to spend their money on something. And Bob's not getting any younger.
Well, their money, the Zimbabwe's money.
I mean the people of Zimbabwe's money, yeah. Well, what little they can squeeze out of it because they've ruined the economy.
See, Bob has to die at some stage. It's kind of like, it's never going to go away, but he will at some stage. You reckon she's just racking up Ben 10s around all these properties?
Probably.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Very smart, actually.
Yeah.
Listen, someone sent me this. It was Dory who works with us. It's from Carl Sagan. I'm just going to read this to you quickly because this he wrote in, 1995. All right, so this is a long time ago. Listen to this. Almost 20 years ago, this is what Carl Sagan said. Here is another reason science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking. I have a foreboding of an America in my children or grandchildren's time when the United States is a service and information economy. This is in 1995 he wrote this. When nearly all the key manufacturing industries have slipped away to other countries. When awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues. And when people have lost the ability to set their own agendas or knowledgeably question those in authority. When clutching our crystals and nervously consulting our horoscopes, our critical faculties in decline, unable to distinguish between what feels good and what's true, we slide, almost without noticing, back into superstition and darkness. The dumbing down of America is most evident in the slow decay of substantive content in the enormously influential media. The 30-second soundbites now down to 10 seconds or less. Lowest common denominator programming. Credulous presentations on pseudoscience and superstition, but especially a kind of celebration of ignorance. I mean, that's where they are already. Carl Sagan was like a Nostradamus, knew exactly what was going to come. Let's get into some news. It is 6:30. Find out what's going on with Mabale Moloi in the top five things you know you need to know today. It's brought to you by Colcacchio's Pizzeria. If you haven't ever had a decent pizza in your life, you are missing out. You need to get to them, and you need to get to them this weekend. Nice hot pizza, nice hot pasta, a beautiful selection of ingredients that you could put on there, and you can get them all at your nearest Colcacchio's Pizzeria. And make sure you download the app, get the rewards, and if you can hold out until Monday, you will get their 2-for-1 special, only for one more week. If you like that Monday special, take advantage next Monday, all right? Put it in your diary now. They're 2-for-1 special, which means if you buy two pizzas, you get the cheaper one for free. Let's see what you got. Mavs, over to you.
Yes, we'll get into the news in depth just after 7. But right now, the top five things that you need to know. We've got a journalist stage out, or rather a walkout, a Gupta lawsuit, and new concert dates dropped by one Casper on your vest. So journalists staged a walkout at a briefing by the social development minister, Bathabile Dlamini, yesterday. She was due to address them about the SASSA payment system at a breakfast in Limpopo. The problem here is that she only arrived 2 hours later than what she was meant to start, which was at 10 a.m. Now, many journalists have traveled from Johannesburg to be at the ranch resort in Limpopo. And then after the 2 hours of waiting, all journalists left. All of them. They just staged a walkout.
So who was she talking to? Her own people who already know?
I don't know that she...
Even the ANN7 ones?
They say all of them walked out, Ben.
Oh, they're not technically journalists, are they?
Yeah. No.
Now, according to the South African National Editors Forum, they say, well, yes, journalists are well within their rights to walk out of a briefing of that nature. And in fact, SANEF have encouraged more journalists to do this kind of thing more regularly. Because, I mean, really, who who has the inclination to have their time wasted? You were meant to start at 10 a.m. You arrived 2 hours late. I've got stuff to do.
You know, I've got an idea. All government ministers should get some sort of police cavalcade so they're never late for anything.
Oh, shame,
and
Ben.
And then they can really be like ferried somewhere really quickly. Because this happens a lot.
Yeah, that would be
lot.
Nice. I mean, why not give them a blue light brigade?
Something like that, yeah. That would work.
Oh, you know what? I hate to break it to you both, but they already have that service.
Oh. Well, why haven't we heard of it?
You probably haven't been pushed off the road or bullied off the road by one such cavalcade when they're actually rushing to get someone somewhere.
I mean, like if you're
late all the time, this is just... If you're 15 or 20 minutes late, I mean, you know, there could be traffic, there could be problems. But to be 2 hours late and expect people to just sit there and wait for you because you think you're important. Let me tell you something. In 5 years' time, no one will remember Batabile Dlamini. That name will not even be a footnote in history. No one's going to care. She's going to be living in some squalor somewhere because she will have blown whatever money she's pilfered from the state. And people will drive past her and shoot dust up into her face as she stands next to a dusty road waiting for the bus. That's what Batabile Dlamini has got to look forward to. So the last thing you want to do, Mrs. Dlamini, is to upset the people who you might need to beg for work one day. Because that's your future. Right now, I'm looking into the crystal ball, just like Carl Sagan did, and like Nostradamus did, and all I see for you, Batabile Dlamini, is a future of misery, poverty, and slovenliness. Then no one will care, and you can dress it up any way you like, but you're going to go back to the places you came from, which nobody seems to care or know about. Nobody knows anything about you. You haven't done anything impressive in your life. And you'll go back to being that. Soon. I wait to drive past you on a dust road.
The Bloomberg News Service is reporting that the Gupta family are suing the Bank of Baroda to stop it from terminating services to the companies which are owned by the family. Yes?
Yes, but this is the only bank that wanted to work with them.
Well, the Bank of Baroda is the last bank to still provide services to the Guptas. And this is after other banks said that they could no longer deal with the family because of regulations around money laundering. So it sucks when nobody wants to be your service provider, which is why you must sue them. And that is exactly what the Gupta family are doing. Mm. The reason that they're suing them is because they saying that at the very least, the bank should have given them enough notice to close their bank accounts. And they're saying that the fact that they haven't given them the required notice is unreasonable, and therefore, contractually, they're well within their rights to sue them.
If you ever want to know that the justice system is a paid-off thing, if nobody wants to bank with the Guptas because they've done illegal stuff, why are the Guptas not in jail? If you, like, let's think about that just for a second. If these guys have done nothing wrong, why do banks not want to touch them? Why is their money not good?
Ben, you ask the right questions, but you're asking them to the wrong crowd. I suggest you ask this question to the National Prosecuting Authority.
It's mind-boggling. Like, yes. When a bank doesn't want... Banks love money. They need money. They won't touch your money. That means you must be a criminal. That's not even putting two and two together. That's just breathing in and out.
You know what?
Breathing in and
out. Words of wisdom.
So last year, it emerged that the Financial Intelligence Center had flagged 6.8 billion rand worth of transactions by the family as suspicious, which is when all those other banks started terminating their service. And now the Bank of Baroda are the last who wanted to do so, but they've got a lawsuit coming their way, apparently.
I love that. So they won't do work with you, so you sue them.
Yes, Gareth.
Because that's going to make them want to do work with you.
Now, Australian researchers have reported a major breakthrough in the relief of the often deadly peanut allergy. Scientists at Melbourne's Murdoch Children's Research conducted clinical trials in which children with peanut allergies were given a probiotic along with small doses of a peanut protein over a period of 18 months. Hmm. And when the experiment ended in 2013, some 80% of the kids who were part of the clinical trial were able to tolerate peanuts. So it would seem that scientists are working on eliminating the peanut allergy.
I would feel terrible for someone who had a peanut allergy. They must be awful. I mean, who doesn't love peanut butter?
Yeah, peanuts are everywhere, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you find traces of them in all sorts of products as well. Chocolates, you know, right. Factories manufacturing chocolate and that kind of thing.
All right. Is that it from you, Mubs?
Just lastly, Gareth, Casper Nyovest sent his fans and even some of his haters into a tiz on Twitter yesterday when he announced his dates for Philip FNB Stadium. This follows up on Philip the Dome, which was a success. Then there was Philip Orlando Stadium, which was also a success. You see how Casper is working on his own series here.
Can you imagine being your thing is being a Casper hater? So when he, like, your thing is to get upset when he announces a concert.
Oh, listen,
like,
you.
Oh, that Casper Nieves.
When it comes to guys like Casper Nieves and AKA, every time they announce something on Twitter, their two camps immediately go at war. It's like the Beehive versus people who hate Beyonce. It's completely silly. Okay,
I wouldn't go to a Beyonce concert. I don't hate her. Imagine me being cross every time Beyonce announced a tour.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous.
It's a lot of energy.
But yeah, so Philip FNB Stadium is scheduled for December the 2nd. 75,000 capacity that. But you know, hey, the guy's done well up until now. Good for you, Casper.
Right, we're going to get to Ben's sport in a second, but I did get this message now on WhatsApp. You can WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. Put it in your phone. Who knows when you might want to tell us what's on your mind. 079-748-2090. The message is, apparently yesterday, two blue light brigades crashed into each other on one of the major highways. So how do they sort that out among themselves? That's probably why Batabile was late. She was in one of those.
Mm.
Who knows? What ignoramuses we have in charge. All right, here's Ben.
The Rugby Championship starts this weekend, and the Boks have named their team for it. Usaya Kassim will come in an eighth man because Warren Whiteley's not there, which does beg the question, is Alistair Garcia ever going to find a balance in the loose trio? Now, if you know much about rugby, you would know that the loose trio is an essential cog of the team.
Don't look at us.
It has been very disjointed. It's been very disjointed.
Ben is
though.
Like, if you know anything about rugby, and he looks around the room.
Nope.
Crickets.
Like a thirsty man looks around the desert.
Now, there's something like all great teams have been defined by there's various elements of a rugby team, but a good loose trio is something that really helps in the modern game because there's just so many different factors involved here as far as securing the ball, stealing the ball, and obviously having that sort of upfront physicality which gets you over the game line. So this is a new trio again. So Kassim will be in eighth man, Sio Kalisi will be on the open side, and Yaku Creel will be on the blind side flank. Is this going to work? Well, we've got Argentina, which is a good team to trial it against. Not as ruthless as New Zealand. But it'd be great to see, it's like a bit of a balance coming out here, because you would think that Yaku Creel is not your traditional number seven. Kalisi could be even seen as a traditional number seven, although he played bloody well at six in the French series. So that is one issue. Another issue is that Kuni Oosthuizen comes in at tight head, an experiment that has failed time and time and time and time again. Kuni, though, well, to his credit, he keeps trying. Look, I think as we said earlier in the week, you know, tight is a very specialist position. You can't just have these retreaded loose heads keep coming in and out. Add to the back line, well, Andrius Kutsia will take on the fullback. Raymond Rule, who still can't tackle by the looks of things, he'll be on the right wing. So these little iffy parts of the team. Jesse Creel and Jan Seventeen regroup in the centres. Courtney Scorsone will be on the wing. And then Elton Junchies and Ross Crinier. So that will make up the back line. It's a pretty good side. They're playing against a team which is essentially the Jacques Wadith, but in stripes. Because Argentina have one of those policies where they don't like you if you go play rugby elsewhere.
Oh.
So unless you're playing for the Jacques Wadith, then they don't really want to pick you for the Pumas. But of course, as soon as that anthem goes, these guys become a little bit more psycho and they become a little bit better. But as Rob Howing was saying in Sport 24, this is the team that finished 10th in Super Rugby. If the Boks can't beat these guys by 15 or more points, then we got some issues. So the French series was great, but PE, 5 o'clock, Saturday afternoon, this is to see how good this team has become in the last year. And if we can actually really applaud this new culture, so to speak, and if Alistair Garcia and his team are on the right path. 5 o'clock Saturday. 11:30 on Saturday, All Blacks will be beating Australia by a comfortable margin, mostly because, well, they've got a great team. They have a great balance everywhere. And even though the gutter trash journalism of the Daily Mail is trying so hard to make us all remember that Aaron Smith put the wood to some woman in the paraplegic box in the Christchurch airport.
Well, you showed me this yesterday.
Oh, Gareth, it's a non-story. It popped up like Aaron Smith did about over a year ago, and he dealt with it. Okay, he had sex in a paraplegic toilet with a woman that wasn't his girlfriend.
Oh,
Shock horror, let's all close the world down. This is a heinous crime.
Standard procedure, though, in the world of athletes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Standard.
When you date an athlete, I mean, pretty much think he's out the house, he's banging someone else.
What kind of person picks up the newspaper with a story like that and goes,
this is a... Oh, my gosh.
What, are you living under a rock?
Lock the kids inside. A rugby player had an affair. Wow.
You dummy.
Jeepers. I'm not saying it's great behavior, but I mean, come on. That's what these guys do. I mean, they can barely spell.
Yeah.
They need to be told where they need to go on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, you
they
need to guide them around with a leash.
Exactly. They'll have sex with... Although, I must say, one of the texts is pretty funny. He said, how about a good luck fucking suck? Because
A good luck fucking suck.
He asked her to meet her outside a park one day. I mean, it's embarrassing at best, but it's not going to derail the All Blacks.
Great.
If Australia think they're going to win a game on the back of this, then they're stupid as this bloody site. Right, in football news, it is a big weekend because the Premiership starts here in South Africa.
Yes.
Wits will take on Cape Town City. That'll be tonight at 8 o'clock. Now, this is an interesting match because obviously Wits are defending champions. Cape Town City, first big match out with Benny McCarthy as their new manager.
Mm-hmm.
How that's going to work? Well, it's an exciting time for them because it's nice to see ex-players giving back to the system. Benny's never coached before, but now he's in the area with Cape Town City. Will he do wonders there? Interesting. SuperSport United, where Cape Town City ex-manager, ex-boss Eric Tinkler has gone to, he'll now take on Mamelodi Sundowns. That'll be at 5 o'clock Saturday.
Right.
And outside of that, well, take your pick, really. Pirates will be playing Chipper United at 6. Ajax Cape Town hosting Golden Arrows 8:15. Then Sunday, some bigger games. Bloem Celtic versus Kaizer Chiefs at 3. And then Platinum Stars Maritzburg United at 3. In the English Premier League, there'll be lots of matches there as well. Swansea will be taking on Man United. That'll be the first match tomorrow. That's at 1:30. Man United, of course, are feeling like they are just top of the world. They beat West Ham 4-0 last week. Liverpool will be hosting Crystal Palace at Anfield at 4 o'clock. And then from there, Arsenal will be away to Stoke at 6:30. Sunday sees Huddersfield Town take on Newcastle. And Spurs will take on Chelsea. So a big London derby already in the mix there. That's Sunday at 5. And then Monday will be Man City versus Everton. Everton have a very tough start to the season. And there we go, Man City. In other news, well, cricket. England, they are, as predictably, just from ramming it home against the West Indies. Obviously, just day one is, of course, the day-night test. So that's with a pink ball. And England are 348 for 3 after their 90 overs. It's just too easy, really. Cook, 153, not out. Joe Root, 136, where he was bowled. And he is now one away from tying the record for most consecutive 50s in test matches. A record held by, Gareth, who do you think?
You know I wouldn't know. Gary Player.
Yes, it's
Gary Player.
It's Gary Player.
Oh. Yeah.
It's also Abbie de Villiers who's got 12. So Abbie de Villiers, he scored 12 consecutive test 50s.
Because any sport, Gary's really, he's your first stop.
Well, if he had time to apply himself. I mean, if there were 7 Gary players who have records all across the board.
Mm.
So Joe Root with his...
We would be the greatest sporting nation in the world if we had Gary in every sport.
Whole world. So just to recap there, the guys on 11. Moni Mulhak, Verinder Sehwag, Gutam Gambia, Viv Richards, and now joined by Joe Root. He just scores runs. He scores runs. He had 136, he's out. So David Malan, he opens up again today, 28 not out, and Cook, 153 not out. West Indies, well, they'll just be scratching their balls the whole day, wondering if they can ever win a big game again.
Right.
Sure.
That's pretty much it for the sport. Ronaldo's been nominated for the FIFA Best Player Award, obviously. And they've done the stupid thing of naming 24 other people.
Yes.
To stand next to him, which is just a patronizing display of bollocks.
But before we finish, you've actually got some interesting Gary Player stuff for us a little bit later on.
I do, Gareth. Well, jeez, what an interview. Gary shared all this week.
Tell me. Just briefly, forward to it. Let us get excited.
Gary
solves all the world's problems in one interview.
Exactly. It's a long interview, but I've cut out the best bits to give you some perspective where Gary's been, what he's done, and what the world is about.
All right, that's coming up in the next hour.
Say that.
It's going to be very exciting. First, it's time to check in with Anthea. That's right. It means she works hard for the money. Thank you. So you better treat her right. Here she is, Anthea Gardner with the Money Shot. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
All right, what's happening? What went on in the markets yesterday?
Yeah, the market was a bit damp yesterday. It was down. The JSE was down about a third of a percent. It was driven by global markets. All major indices were negative. Naspers as well, very disappointing. It ended flat. I mean, even though Tencent was 2% higher in China. And I thought we'd see a nice little like continuation bounce from the Tencent results, but no. And then while I'm talking about China, Alibaba reported last night, pretty much like Tencent, they shot the lights out. First quarter revenue was up 56%. I mean, they made in sales $7.5 billion for the 3 months. So that's not even for the year. I mean, I don't think you need any more proof. The Chinese consumer is alive and spending. Revenue in the entertainment business grew about 30%, but the real boost for them was in their cloud business, which grew 96%, basically doubling their cloud business revenue. So year to date, Alibaba shares are up 90%, which means that Jack Ma's wealth has increased from the beginning of the year by $15.7 billion. I mean, that really solidifies
sorry, my belly just choked on her own tongue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Say that again. Oh. How much?
This year alone, Jack Ma, who, by the way, is a teacher, ex-teacher, his wealth increased by $15.7 billion.
What a great guy, though. I mean, he really did start from absolute zero, and he's built up this empire. You know, when people get upset with rich people, I say to them, this guy started with just as little as you have, if not less. I mean, China was not an easy place to do business in.
Exactly. You're so spot on, like against all odds, right? Yeah.
What a win.
And he's not slowing down either. He's still buying up businesses. He's expanding outside of China. In fact, I saw yesterday he's buying up bricks and mortar businesses or stores. Like he paid $2.6 billion for a retail department store chain. It's called In Time. So I'm not sure what he's going to do with it. But yeah, he's just going for it.
Right.
And then back home, a lot of companies reported yesterday. The biggest of them, Standard Bank, they reported their first half results. A very good story. I was very impressed with their results. Profit was up 11%. In constant currency, their group headline earnings increased by 19% year on year, which is really just a reflection of very strong operational performance. I mean, their banking operation had a nice little profit from the London subsidiary, but then the Argentinian business didn't do so great. There's a lot of belt tightening going on in Standard Bank, very clearly so. I mean, I think they're still very nervous around the economy and the consumer. They're scaling back on unsecured loans, which means, you know, they're just lending less to the consumer, kind of personal loans. Mortgage loans are fine, but like anything that's backed by an asset is fine, it seems. But kind of just your credit card, your personal loans, that sort of stuff being cut. And then a lot of cost cutting going on as well. In fact, they managed to produce positive jaws. And I think I explained this to you last week. Jaws is basically the relationship between your cost and your income. And they decreased it from 56.8% to 56.3%, which doesn't seem a lot. But actually, in the banking business, it's like a leverage play. It really makes a huge difference if you can contain costs and increase revenue. Well, not just in banking, but in every business. But it seems to be more leveraged in banking. And then they announced that they're paying a 4 rand dividend for the half year, which is quite nice. So far, the share's up about 13% just in the last year.
Not bad.
Which is, yeah, it's not bad. I must admit, you know how nervous I am around these banks. I just feel like we're just not out of the woods in the South African economy, and I just want something to show me that we're going to turn around, you know. There's a little bit of macroeconomic data, which is positive, but the consumer's still under a lot of pressure, I think.
All right, so you still wouldn't buy, if you didn't have any bank shares already, you wouldn't go out and buy any?
So I'm not sure I would absolutely stay away from them. I might, if I kind of felt a bit brave that day, start picking up some Barclays or First Rand or Standard Bank. Those are kind of my picks at the moment. Okay. A little bit. I'm not going to go boots and all in them.
All right. Very good. Cool.
I think global markets pretty weak this morning, so we'll see what happens. The rand quite strong as well. 13.17 to the dollar last time I checked.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Okay, Anthony.
All right. Have a good weekend.
You too. We'll speak to you on Monday.
Super. Thanks.
Awesome. Anthea Gardner, the money shot. Every day, Monday to Friday, that time. It's time for us to check in with Said by Sia. This is where we get our daily dose of inspiration and wisdom, because Sia is just much too smart for his age. This is not some patronizing thing that I like to say to him. You know, Mubs, what I mean. Occasionally, he'll drop some wisdom in the office and everyone will go, huh? Did Sia say that?
But it's Said by Sia.
There we go. Right.
And it's worth listening to.
So this morning, I just want to say, if you aren't sold on this kindness thing, well, there are actually medical benefits to it. So here are three reasons why actually being kind is cool. So point number one, kindness actually makes you happier. When you actually do something for someone, on a biomedical level, it is believed that the good feeling we get is due to elevated levels of the brain's natural versions of morphine and heroin. That's interesting to know.
Totally agree with that.
Exactly. So they cause elevated levels of dopamine in the brain, so we get a natural high, often referred to as a helper's high. Number two.
A helper's high.
I'm at least going to be using that like three times today. I'm just on a helper's high.
And that's the cheapest high you can get.
Oh, Ben, you're selling this one. Seriously, that is
the cheapest high in the world.
You see? Straight and simple. Point number two, why kindness is actually good for you. It gives us healthier hearts. So acts of kindness are often accompanied by this emotional warmth, right? You feel good about yourself. Now, that warmth produces the hormone oxytocin in the brain and throughout the body. Of much recent interest, its significant role in the overall cardiovascular system. So oxytocin causes the release of a chemical in the blood vessels, which expands the blood vessels themselves. So this reduces blood pressure, and therefore it protects your heart by lowering the blood pressure.
So when people say you got a big heart,
they actually mean it.
Yeah,
they didn't know it, but they mean it.
Kind people.
Okay, so in other words, don't be a dick because it's bad for your health.
Basically, and then the last point, kindness can actually slow aging. So aging on a biomedical level is a combination of many things, but the two culprits of this that speed up the process are free radicals and inflammation, both of which result from making unhealthy life choices. But research now shows that oxytocin, which is what we produce, you know, through emotional warmth, reduces levels of free radicals and inflammation in the overall cardiovascular system, and thus slows aging. At its source. So 3 points and one, why kindness is actually good for you.
I like it. All right, there. You see? You walk around today and you're horrible to people. It's going to affect your health badly.
Exactly.
Just letting you know, all right?
Aim for that helper's high and having a big heart.
Damn right. Okay, so let's get into it. We've got a busy day ahead of us. We've got lots to talk about. We've got some news on the way. Plenty more. CliffCentral.com. Good morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.